A man is fighting for his life after being shot in the neck in Carrick yesterday. He's been named as Geordie Gilmore and is understood to be a high-profile loyalist. He had posted on his Facebook page on the eve of the gun attack, "The days of the UDA putting people out of Carrick are over." There's been an ongoing feud between loyalist factions in Carrickfergus for some time. In December, I spoke to ACC Stephen Martin about this after the PSNI had revealed that they had spent £1.6 million policing the loyalist row in the Castlemara estate in the town due to dispute involving the South East Antrim UDA. I asked him what was going on.
The UDA are seeking to intimidate people and use the threat of violence to obtain a degree of control. So if you include the fact that they threaten and that they pose a risk...
You're talking about throughout Northern Ireland here?
No, we're talking about Castlemara at the moment. Quite happy to talk about the case across Northern Ireland. But certainly the Castlemara situation is a tense situation. The South East Antrim UDA are posing the threat, a real threat of violence. There is a dispute going on between that organisation and a local family and their associates, and the risk of violence is high. The UDA are seeking to exercise a degree of control, and to prevent them doing that, the police are getting in the middle. The police are arresting people, they're seizing guns, they're putting people before the court, we're carrying out search activity. And we're saying we're in charge, but the situation is very tense. And whilst we're committed to keep doing what we're doing, and we will be in Castlemara today, we will be preventing crime, we will be searching and arresting if possible, and we have had quite a bit of success in Castlemara over recent weeks and months in that regard. But this situation needs to come to an end. People need to step back from a brink. The UDA need to stop doing what they're doing. And actually, all paramilitary groups, there's no place for them in Northern Ireland. Nobody wants them. They're an anathema from a bygone age, and they need to go.
Well, that was in December. Stuart Dixon, the Alliance MLA, with us this morning. Good morning to you, Stuart.
Good morning, Steve.
What are your thoughts here?
Well, clearly, when ACC Martin said we were on the brink in December, we clearly yesterday came over the brink with this incredibly serious incident and the man now fighting for his life in hospital. This requires, and it may be very obvious to suggest, a robust policing operation. And he described what was going on, but at the same time they also were proposing mediation with various groups involved in this feud or this dispute. Clearly that hasn't worked, and there is now, I think, a call from the general public, from the people who live in the area, to know they need to know that the police are being robust and are being proactive in what they're doing. And this requires, that's not for me to tell the police how to do their job, but I think some things are fairly self-evident. Examination of bank accounts, people's property, all of those things need to be done. Perhaps the PSNI need the assistance of the National Crime Agency.
Roy Begg's with me this morning as well. What's the kickback here on the UDA for doing this, Roy?
Well, the I'm not aware of any large-scale funding that UDA in this area is getting, unlike the North Down with the Charter NI funding. Undoubtedly, there has to be a cost. There should be a cost in terms of increased scrutiny from policing. And something that I have been regularly calling for is following the Fresh Start Agreement, where there's meant to be £10 million additional money a year to address paramilitarism. It's for specialist police resources to target where the money is going to. Where is the drug dealing money going to? Because this organisation is involved in drug dealing locally. There's involvement in loan sharking. And people are gaining money and power through this system. And the community, for the benefit of the community, we need this addressed by policing. We do not wish any more feuding. And a big, big plea I have to put out there for any young people: Stay far away from these organisations. You might think you get involved in some sort of politics, but it is involved. It is about organised crime, and watch how those at the top financially benefit.
You're the elected representative in the area. Who do you think has the upper hand, the UDA or the police?
Well, it's very clear that police, when they wish, can put huge additional resources into the area, but they cannot sustain that. I'm interested that later on today you're talking about external This policing, extra policing, has cost over £1.6 million so far. That's almost exactly the amount of money that's needed for disadvantaged families to help children and young people who have been funded through the external state scheme. Why are we not investing constructively in disadvantaged areas rather than having to carry out huge policing operations? We definitely need specialist policing to follow the money. This is how organised crime has been traditionally dealt with. If you follow the money, you put resources into that. And there does also need to be undercover activity because people are fearful to give evidence here. So we need to collect evidence by other means. That's what's needed. But where has that specialist money, that Fresh Start money, moved to so far? Very little of it was approved, and now the two parties were meant to be distributing
and
it.
And if I was to push you on that, who has the upper hand? Police or the UDA?
The community is frustrated with the inability to date of dealing with those who are profiting from paramilitary activity and organised crime in the area. And there is...
Is that your way of saying the UDA has the upper hand?
In certain areas, I have no doubt that there is a fear in the community and paramilitaries are able to operate with apparent impunity.
How come, Stuart?
Well, because in the past they have been quite often fed, dealt with softly, both by policing, by local authorities, and indeed by central government, as Roy suggested, in the handing out of funds. Those days must come to an end. From an Alliance Party perspective, when it comes to negotiations, when it comes to how we deal with paramilitaries across Northern Ireland for the future, that has to be front and centre. We can no longer be handing over public money to these types of organisations or the channels into these types of organisations. That must come to an end. I believe that the police have a primacy here in Carrickfergus. I have to believe that, and the community has to believe that. Otherwise, we will be getting into an appalling situation. But it is vitally important that the police continue to hold the upper hand here in this community. They are the only agency of law and order in Carrickfergus.
Brian and Anderson's time. First call of the day. Morning, Brian.
Morning, Stephen. No, Stephen, everybody reads the Sunday papers, and the Sunday papers disclose even names where the money's coming from, where the money's going to. If I go out into the town and I drop a bit of paper, I'm fined on the spot. I don't pay my car tax. I go out on the road, I'm fined. What I'm really saying is that
rule for one and one for another.
Correct. I mean, one more example is last week you had a report about the tires over in East Belfast and all this, who's going to do this and when it's going to be moved and so forth. Why can't certain individuals from that area as community workers go out there from the area and say, listen, this will be moved. It's not good for the area.
We're not talking about tires this morning, are we?
No, what I'm saying is people get away with saying things and they don't do them. That's what I'm saying. I mean, they're very quick coming on your show and saying, oh, this has to be done, this shouldn't. But they don't do it themselves. But what I'm saying, but go back to what I said before, everybody knows from the papers and Sunday papers who's doing what in Carrickfergus. And what I'm saying is, why doesn't PS9 not do better at the end of the day?
Well, that's obviously a question for them. Did we ask them on this morning, the police? We did. They didn't want to come on and talk about it. That's
right.
Handy.
Right.
Jimmy and Malad, morning, Jimmy.
Stephen, how's you this morning?
Go ahead, Jimmy.
First thing, Stephen, I want to congratulate you here. You've started, you're making a bit of progress.
What do you mean?
Well, I'll make it clear from the start. The attack yesterday was absolutely atrocious. It's wrong and it shouldn't be happening. But you've started your show up it this morning. I can understand. It's a story. A man was shot in the neck. But I want to congratulate you and hope this is the start of a bit of progress because we're seeing...
What do you mean?
I'm just going to explain to you right now. We're seeing maybe 2-3 times a week young lads in nationalist areas getting legs blown off them, getting arms blown off them, getting all sorts done to them. If it wasn't for news bulletins, we would rarely hear it on your story. So you are making progress, but I would like this progress to continue now. You've started with a loyalist attack on...
I genuinely don't know what you mean. What are you trying to say?
What I'm trying to say is, how often do you cover Okay? You'll maybe have three shootings in Republican areas in a week. You don't cover that. One shooting in a loyalist area, and it's your top story. Now, you're making progress, but let's hope it's steady progress and continues on for both sides of the community.
There is something happening, by the way, and I just want to use this as a touchstone. There is something happening in certain areas of Northern Ireland. I feel it with some commentary from people like you and many others. That both sides of the community somehow feel that the media is biased against them.
No, Stephen. No. Well, I mean, you can look back at your archives there. I think it was 3 weeks ago. There was three people shot in nationalist areas. One, I think, was reported will never walk again in 1 week. Stephen, your show didn't cover it once. This is what I'm saying. I'm actually congratulating you on making progress because you've started. Now, it took a loyalist to trigger this off. But let's just hope if there's somebody shot in Poleglass, Ardoyne, Lurgan tonight, that you'll be doing it on your very first show in the morning. That's the point that I'm making.
Do you remember us covering the murders of Kevin McGuigan?
Of course.
The murder of Kevin McGuigan.
No, Stephen, I'm talking about weekly shootings and maimings that you don't cover. Now, I have one more question for you, Stephen, if you don't mind. I know it's not what the subject is today, but I couldn't help thinking. I tried to get on yesterday when you were talking about the bonfires, if you don't mind, if you let me ask you that. You classed the young lads, maybe not them all, but as young thugs, yeah?
No, not them all.
Yeah, well...
I actually classed them as louts to this extent.
Stephen, you said thugs.
To this extent. Right, well, hold on a minute.
Can I ask you the one question?
Hold on a minute. To this extent, there's a beautiful £40 million greenway, okay?
Yes, I totally understand.
Hold on a minute. In the middle of their community, because context is important here, okay?
Yep.
And what I said was, I'm paraphrasing now, but what I was trying to say was this, that given the fact that children will be running around that greenway and families and babies and family dogs and all that kind of malarkey, and there'll be nails coming out of those pallets and, you know, the hundreds of tires, if they're burnt, they send pollutants out. They don't go into nowhere. They go into their own community. Is it not thuggish behaviour to throw that down and say, do you know what? I don't care about anybody else.
Don't label all the kids. I didn't
label them all.
Stephen, you said young thugs.
Well, for it. Someone...
But listen, here's the question I want to ask you.
Well, hold on. Let me ask you a question, then you can come back with one. And by the way, you've taken us on a complete tangent here this morning.
No, go ahead.
But do you think it is thuggish behaviour just to burn tires and send pollutants into your own community and to leave wooden pellets with nails and goodness knows what else?
At the minute.
Well, is it thuggish behaviour or is it not?
Right, well, can I ask you the question here? What has been in my head from yesterday?
Yes.
I've listened to your show, been on it umpteen times.
Yes.
And you've talked about when you lived up the Ballygow about yourself running around as a kid around bonfire time. Were you a young thug, Stephen? Because you've done pretty well. Were you a young thug when you were out collecting wood? Would you describe yourself as a young thug?
I think I said, by the way.
Stephen, you said thug.
Can I answer your question? I think I said I went to the Bonies. I think I was too lazy.
No, Stephen, you said you remembered being young.
I was too lazy. I didn't collect wood.
Well, you've made that claim on occasions when you were in your youth days. So the question I'm asking you, what you said yesterday about the young lads doing stuff like that now.
I think Brian wants to speak to you this morning, and we're getting pulled into a whole tangent here. Morning to you, Brian.
But listen, you've made progress on the shootings.
Stay there, Jimmy. Well, thank you for your compliment. Stay there, Jimmy. Yes, Brian, good morning. Morning, Brian. Brian's not there.
Okay.
Brian, good morning.
Good morning, Stephen. How are you?
Go ahead.
Listen, I want to make a point. The chap on at the minute complaining that you're covering loyalists shooting each other, but you're not covering shootings in Republican areas. There's a big difference. The Republicans shootings in the Republican areas are terrorists shooting innocent people, are people who they think have done wrong against the community. They're victims. Two sets of loyalist paramilitaries feuding with each other is a totally different ballgame. Because these loyalist paramilitary feuds have a history of escalating and developing and engulfing quite a lot of Northern Ireland. So they do warrant more investigation and discussion.
Now, Brian.
A shooting is a shooting regardless of who gets shot. It's as simple as that.
Are you trying to tell me that Mr. Gilmore is on the same level of victim as the innocent victims have been shot by Republican paramilitaries in West Belfast?
You could speak for four days here about victims.
Yeah, but you could speak for 4 days, but you couldn't speak any sense. Have a bit of wit. There's no whataboutery whenever it comes to paramilitaries involved in feuds over bloody
whatever the case may be. What I'm saying is there is multiple. Now, yesterday was totally wrong. I said that from the start. But there is a weekly basis, sometimes 2-3 times a week, Republicans.
Yes, and that gets covered in the news. And rightly so, that gets covered in the news. But whatever we
covered on this show,
doing the shootings,
this is the point I'm making. It doesn't get covered on this show.
Hold on, we're not going over that again. We've done that.
But it doesn't need to be covered in the show. It's covered in the news because the victim is a victim.
Hold on,
the victim and loyalist shooting are two sets of loyalist terrorist paramilitaries.
But Brian,
you have the opportunity of engulfing the whole of Northern Ireland.
Brian, it is incredibly.
Is there no Republican shooting going on at the minute, Brian?
Jimmy, shush 1 second, Brian. It's very, very dangerous indeed, is it not, for you to start to distinguish between different shootings of different human beings and somehow, you know, there's a priority level now. Well, you are.
I'm not. What I'm saying is, do you think, right, okay, so if Johnny Bloggs gets shot by Republican terrorists, do you think it's worth discussing, why was Johnny Bloggs shot or what was their reasoning behind it? No, it's not. He was shot by terrorists for their own gain. Whenever it's loyalist paramilitaries involved in shooting each other, it is a totally different matter because it involves, for example, the police spending £1.6 million in trying to marshal the feud. So it affects everybody in Northern Ireland financially. So thus...
And do you want to bring into the equation how much it's costing to police Republican shootings, killings...
No, it doesn't cost anything to the police Republican shootings, killings, because the police can't identify what the problem is, who's doing it, and where it is.
So we man and Anderson can get shot three times in one week, and you're saying it doesn't cost anything to investigate it?
No, I did not say that. I said that general policing deals with terrorists shooting innocent people in their areas. The police know these loyalist paramilitaries, who they are, where it happens, how it happens.
So your logic is less shouldn't be investigated by the police then?
Now, that's an example of the moronic behaviour and sense.
It doesn't warrant the same style of investigation.
No, the investigation isn't. And I did not discuss investigation. I spoke about the police having to handle it, having to marshal it. That is not investigating it. The police spending £1.6 million is not spending £1.6 million investigating loyalist shooting in a loyalist area. That £1.6 million is there to prevent the loyalists getting out of control because they know that it's one faction of UDA against another faction of UDA in a certain geographical area. So they have to spend that £1.6 million in prevention. The investigation has absolutely nothing to do with that £1.6 million. And it shows your level of intelligence that you can't separate.
How is it?
If you're so intelligent. Have you got the figures in front of you there of what the Pace and I are spending investigating feuds between Continuity IRA, Real IRA? You're going out of control here.
I'm trying to understand what you're actually driving towards here. What's your conclusion? What are you trying to say, Brian?
What I'm trying to say is that whenever, be it loyalist or Republican paramilitary, start getting involved in internal feuds, it spills over to Northern Ireland. So hence, there is a need for discussion on the airwaves like yourself or on TalkBack. When it comes to expenditure of finances by the police, having to put large operations in place to keep them
What's the alternative?
The reason I phoned in was because your friend there was constantly going on the what about, right? Oh, you're talking about Lois paramilitary shootings, but you're not talking about shootings in West Belfast. The shootings in West Belfast, if it was an innocent person being shot by Lois paramilitaries because he was a car thief or something like that, you would not be having a discussion about it. Hence, you don't have long discussions about whenever victims are being shot in West Belfast, because there's victims in it. In the Lois paramilitary feud, in all honesty, and hand on heart, none of them are victims. They live by the sword. If they go on to shoot each other, the only relevance of this to the people of Northern Ireland is whenever it starts.
Well, now, there's the controversial comment.
Jimmy,
would you be quiet 1 minute? Take him out if he won't listen to me. Doing my head in this morning. Brian.
Yep.
There's the very, very controversial, if not dangerous, comment. Well, you're saying that someone that has been shot is not a victim and they live by the sword. We're not living in a jungle.
Hang on a second. They have been living in the jungle for 40 years.
But you step down to that level of saying that, you know, someone that's been shot is not a victim. Of course they're a victim, Brian.
No, yes, they're a victim. But not the same as a victim of an innocent person shot by the paramilitaries because they have done some slight, as in steal a car or something like that. These are different types of people. These are people who have been living off the backs of people of Northern Ireland for 40 years. The war is over. 1998 has come and gone. Yet Lois paramilitaries are still involved because they are only interested in money. They're not interested in you. They're not interested in me. They're not interested in their own community because they're living off the backs of their own community. So whenever they start to fight each other, why should the general population have sympathy with them? Whenever they're fighting over territory for drugs, or whatever the case may be, they've lived off the backs of the people of Northern Ireland for long enough. And the sooner that the people in Republican and Loyalist areas get this into their heads, that the paramilitaries on both sides don't give us fiddlers about them. They're only interested in their pockets and the bottom line. The sooner we will come out of the spectre of the past.
Here's Lisa in Brandywell. Morning, Lisa.
Hello. I just want to know, Stephen, if the UDA are on ceasefire, they're out shooting people, and there's a feud, why are they being funded?
Well, the UDA isn't being funded, is it?
Yes, they are, surely to God they are.
Well, where are you getting that from? Hello? Lisa's gone. Oliver McMullen again. Morning, Oliver.
Morning, Stephen. How are you?
Well, it's two days in a row, Oliver. Good morning.
Oh, well, after your kind words yesterday, I thought I might as well.
Since you've lost your seat, you've been on 2 days in a row now.
Well, you never put me on any other time, so it took me to lose my seat for you to talk to me. Stephen, the last feud in the Castlemara State, the standoff, I think, in December last year, I was contacted by people in the state crying out for help. And the gangsterism that's going on there, it's not paramilitarism, it's gangsterism, let's call it what it is. It affects the whole of East Antrim. It's all controlled right down into Larne. And this is the problem here. There's so much money floating about here, so much money being made out of gangsterism. The police need to go in there and look at the lifestyle of some of these people. You don't run about in Range Rovers and have a job cleaning windows. Things like that there. They need to do that. But there also needs to be something put into place for those people who want to get out of that rut, that they want to lead a normal life. And that's not happening. Now, the people sent me information. They emailed me. They've actually rung me. Now, I passed this information on back onto the PSNI that I was given of what was going on within that estate, of who was doing what. The police have got all that information. They need to come down a lot harder on these gangsters who are basically controlling the...
But what do you mean by that, come down harder? What more do you want them to do?
They need to go in there and first of all look at their lifestyle, Stephen.
Are they not doing that already?
Some of them people, listen, they're on holidays 4 or 5 times a year. Go in there and talk to the people, Stephen. It's very hard maybe to talk to them because they are absolutely petrified of speaking in public because then they'll be targeted themselves. We know that. But the information that the police have got, Another thing too, there's a wash of guns in there. There's nearly 80 stolen weapons.
In where?
Between Carrick, Fergus and Larne.
Are you serious?
Yes, we've bought that off a Freedom of Information off the PSNI. I have it in my possession that I asked the question. It goes right back, every type of weapon you can think of, every type of attachment for a weapon, ammunition, everything. The PSNI will confirm that. I've got that off then, but February time this year.
Will you let us see that?
I certainly, I'll dig that out and send that in to you if you need it.
I think you and I are bonding. let us see that, because I want to see that FOI. Is that all right?
That's no problem at all.
Oliver, thank you very much.